We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're shot in basketball.
They tend to lead. They lead basketball in that.
The Hawks do?
Mid-range?
Yeah. They do? Yeah. Which is not a... It's just... Analytically, it's not a good shot. It just isn't. You know, it's good to take them every once in a while. But those long twos, like, the front office people will, you will have a meeting after the game.
But if it goes in.
Yeah, no. Even if it does, it's still, it's the breakdown of it. And, like, because there are the advanced numbers on that where it's like, sure, yeah, if it goes in, great. But, like.
There's just not that many guys either anymore that shoot a high percentage from 19 feet. You know, because nobody really does it anymore.
DeMar anyway. DeRozan.
But yeah, DeRozan and like LaMarcus Aldridge was kind of the last of a dying breed as far as those.
Had to play for the Spurs at some point in time.
Yeah. Yep, they kind of like that.
That's exactly what it is.
But so. Like, yeah, I mean, like being good at mid-range right now is it's almost like not even a compliment, which is so silly because if you're good at it, you're good at it. Like DeJounte Murray is a good mid-range player, you know, but. You know, if he played for a different team, they'd probably tell him not to do that.
Yeah. Really? You think they tell them not to do it?
I don't know. Probably. I think there's a reason why he's worked so hard on his three-point shooting. And
you think somebody, I don't think they would tell the player not to shoot it.
I do.
Oh, 100%.
No. So you think a coach comes in and says, you don't shoot a two-pointer.
Shoot less of these.
Yeah, shoot less of these. I doubt that. It's not the coach. It's the front office people. And every front office around the league will tell you that.
So you think a GM goes down to practice and says, why are y'all working on your range?
I think it's a meeting with people afterwards that says, hey, we got to stop shooting these longer twos.
Well, I mean, there's a reason why.
I almost guarantee it would happen.
I think it's because the way the game is going now.
But why would that be?
Because that's the way the game is going.
I know, but there's, you know what I mean.
I don't think no GM goes to no coach or no player and says, you need to stop shooting. 2 point. Oh. Starting shooting mid range.
1,000% this
happens.
What's
the answer to the solution, though? So is it backing up? Shoot more threes?
Yeah. Take a step back.
Yeah, it's threes and layups. It's threes and dunks. Those are the numbers of it. Because over time, if you shoot X amount of 2 point, I mean, I'm not like an analytical expert, but I watch a lot of basketball. And yeah, it's just the number. Like over time, as you shoot these 2 pointers, unless you're shooting them at an outrageous clip, it's better for the team if you shoot threes and maybe miss a few more and make them. Just the numbers, that's how it pans out.
Because if you shoot 32% from three and 50% from two mid-range, you're still scoring more points if you're shooting more threes. You know what I mean? Because they're worth more points. But again, just to your point, Randy, like guys didn't just wake up one day and be like, let's just shoot more threes.
I just think that's where the game is going.
I know, but there's a reason why the game's going there.
Because they see – I mean, I understand your point, but I just don't believe no damn GM goes to his coach or the players and say, you have to shoot more three-pointers. I don't believe that shit. Because you're like – I just think that's what the game is now. The game is more perimeter-oriented. I believe that. And I think, you know, watching that the brother out there in Golden State, how he has changed the fucking game – that's what they do now, but I don't believe somebody actually goes there and tells them that you got to do that. I don't believe that. No.
Yeah, I do. 100%.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. things happen because they're, you know, guys are being coached to do something, or front offices are, I guess you're drafting guys that are doing something, but like, I don't know, it's a trend in basketball that exists for a reason, right? Like that all these front offices are building their staffs and coaching staffs and teams around the idea that shoot more threes and layups because it's more efficient. And I don't know, you probably do get in trouble if you take too many long twos.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe what you're saying. They draft the players to shoot threes, but don't necessarily instill in their head, you got to shoot more three-pointers. No.
No. I think that's like a one-on-one conversation with the GM and the coach, and then coach goes to practice and kind of.
Yeah, I do. It happens.
Yeah, I don't know. It just is. I don't know. I don't know.
This is what we're going to practice today.
I don't understand.
And it involves hitting this open man outside the arc.
Well, I mean, and also that's just DeRozan's also a slightly older player, and there's a couple guys that haven't expanded their range, and there's certain big guys that don't have that. There's certain guys that are never going to be able to shoot threes that aren't going to do that. But, yeah, if you're a guy who shoots mid or long range twos, get your range right. Like, figure it out. You're going to have to wait to shoot threes, or you're not going to be like a max player or this, that, or the other thing. That's what's going to wind up happening. The other thing, too, is that every kid, you know, a lot of it because back to your point, Randy, with like a Steph Curry or whoever, but really everybody now. I mean,
that's what they're doing now.
Steph, Dame, Trey, pick whoever you want as far as like a point guard that kids like and follow. They all shoot threes. So that's all that they're doing, too. You go watch a middle school basketball game last night. They ran everybody out of the gym.
The whole root of the conversation is sort of a chicken and an egg thing, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't think those guys are just shooting threes. They're shooting threes because they're seeing other people shoot threes. They're seeing other people shoot threes because decisions have been made that shooting threes is a more efficient way of playing offense in the NBA. Like, I don't think everyone just woke up one day in 2007 and was like, oh, Steph's a fun shooter. Let's just all shoot a bunch of threes.
Yeah.
All these organizations are run by, you know, like it or not, they're run by analytics departments that print out sheets that tell you the most efficient way to play, and then you try to build your team that way. Like,
yeah,
and some teams are better at it than others. The Hawks just happen to be a team that is, or at least was, built to be a very modern style of team that over the last couple of years has become a much more mid-range shooting team.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of that has to do with their coach, which is probably one of the reasons why their coach isn't going to be here next year.
Yeah.
They took less mid-range shots last night than they have in any other game all season, and they shot well, you know, from three, which is helpful, but they also had a really good offensive performance. They just, you know, leading the NBA in mid-range shots, unless you have a guy like DeMar DeRozan or a couple guys like that, just doesn't really make any sense.
They just don't even exist. You can't build a team of DeMar DeRozan. I mean, the last people to do it successfully at a very high rate, we were kind of joking about it before, was the Spurs. But they also had such a system and such a way to move the basketball where they even had the higher percentage of the two-point. Like a contested long-range two is just the worst shot in basketball. It's not even like remotely close as far as like the breakdown of it over time, for sure. But yeah, I mean, you have to, if you're an up and coming basketball player, if you're not a good shooter to be able to make it that far, you got to be either an elite defender or an elite finisher at the rim or whatever it might be. So, one thing I wanted to get to, in the podcast today, cause I don't know, this will fit in. It could fit in a big deal, but I've got some other fun topics today at 11:40. Do you guys see this thing where Brian Kelly got, he got paid $1 million because of like a clerical error, and like one went to the foundation or whatever, and one went to his regular paycheck. Right. Have you guys ever been? I mean, obviously not $1 million. Maybe Randy, I don't know, but like, have you guys ever gotten overpaid or underpaid or something completely wrong on something or whatever it is anywhere?
Yeah,
yeah, like big time, like to the point where like there's a zero swinging in another way. You don't have to say the amount of money, but like what was the situation?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
No one ever?
Nope.
Cleared. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody ever asked. So I'm like, okay. Well, I just keep moving.
Are we talking about the same thing?
Yep.
Yep.
Let's keep moving.
Me too.
Oh. All right. Well, good for you guys.
Just keep moving.
All right.
Yeah.
Never had a zero swing any kind of way in my
I assumed it was just because they liked us, and that's what I told myself, and that's what I decided. Was true.
And maybe that's what it was.
It kept it moving.
Well, it kept it right on moving.
Kept it right on fucking moving. But that when I saw that, I was like, so do they just not pay like his next check or take it out the next one?
Yeah, what is the deal with Brian Kelly's situation? They paid him an extra $1 million, and then so now they've got to get it back, right? Like, because he's paid by the state.
He's paid by
dollars.
Okay. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I never knew how coaches get paid.
I mean, technically.
I was assumed that they got some kind of fund that they pay them out of.
So
I'll pay for Kirby? Department.
Yeah, technically. I mean, he's a state employee, right?
But they also have big budgets where they get outside money.
The football program at a school like that has different revenue streams aren't just taxes. You know?
Hold on, Kirby.
So, no, I mean, Kirby Smart makes $10 million a year because boosters.
Kirby's making how much?
10 or whatever. Wasn't it 11 or something like that?
And fucking Josh Heupel is making 9? So, after one good year.
Damn right. This is a good agent. He probably has Jimmy Sexton as his agent.
One good fucking year.
You got to pay him.
This motherfucker got a $4 million. Get the fuck out of here, man.
That's how it is.
What I don't get, though, like, I understand what you're saying, and good for him for using the leverage of the season.
No doubt.
But what I don't understand exactly is what his leverage was. You know what I mean? Like, where was Josh going? You know what I mean? Like with
well, I guess maybe you could bluff on that, or
Kiffin always plays it perfectly.
Well, his leverage is Tennessee was relevant for the first time this century.
They were.
Understand.
that's
for $4 million. Didn't he get a bump during the season last year?
I don't remember.
Oh,
I think that
because he got a bump up to $5 million.
That's not really leverage. What you're talking about is just being paid for good work. Like, you're being rewarded for good work, which is great. Like, and that's something that should exist as well. But like,
Tennessee being relevant is that leverage, though. You don't think he could go there and say somebody else, even if it's not Tennessee, even if it's a lesser program, will pay me $9 million a year.
Maybe, but my thing is just with these guys that you
Tennessee, you don't want to lose.
They usually play it out. There's usually a rumor or something like that. Remember, wasn't there a rumor a couple years ago that Kirby was like interested in the Tampa job or something like that?
Yep. Yeah, there was a rumor. Well, now somebody floated it out.
It floated out there, and then like a week later, Kirby got a raise. Yeah. Like that's normally the way that it goes. Like I don't maybe I just missed it, but I didn't see any Josh Heupel rumors. Like that felt like Tennessee was just like great work, which is fine and probably the way that it should go. Like if you do a good job, let's just sort of pay you market value. But normally, like, Kiffin gets a raise every offseason because Kiffin flirts with another school every offseason.
And they're going to stop doing that shit. Because remember when all that Auburn shit came out and they went on a 4-game loser streak?
Yeah, they lost all their games.
Lost all their damn games.
They lost, what, 5 straight down right?
Yeah, all that Kiffin leverage is done. It should be.
It should be.
Yeah.
But he just got a new contract.
But he just got a new contract out of it.
If you fire him next year, you got to pay him.
You got to pay him all that money.
That's kind of what you know, Tennessee's using the Anthopoulos approach where you do well, we're going to pay you now as opposed to waiting, and then we're going to have to pay you more later. Because if he has a shitty season, all he got to do is fire him. Then
back in September, he got Josh Heupel agreed to a contract extension corresponding $1 million, bringing his salary to $4 million. That was in September.
Okay.
Okay, so then, okay, I got it. Okay. All right, I was like, I know he got some money during the season.
Sorry, say that one more time.
Okay, so he got a $1 million extension during the season that brought his salary up to $5 million.
Okay.
All right, and this was printed back in September.
And then they won a bunch of games.
And then they
doubled his salary, basically.
Good for him, man.
From where he started,
he wouldn't go lose.
From where he started the season, he was at $4 million, and now he's at $9 million.
That's fucked.
So he more than doubled his salary. And I don't know. I mean, maybe Tennessee's back, but
I love it.
We'll see.
They're gonna be good.
they're gonna be good offensively. But like,
I don't know if they're gonna be good as they were last year offensively, but they're gonna be good offensively.
Yeah,
because that's what he does. His offense, that's what they do.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, he's got that system, and they've been able to succeed with it so far. But I mean, still succeed is in quotations,
right?
They didn't make the conference championship game.
They did not.
They didn't beat Georgia.
They did not.
You know what I mean? I mean, they won their bowl game. They played really good in their bowl game.
They think that he gives them the best possible chance, and he probably does, to repeat this next
year. I just was surprised that it went to that level. Like,
me
I
too.
Can see giving him an extension and a raise.
Like a $2 million, like $7 million, but he got $4 million?
It made him what? What did it make him now? I mean, is that the fourth highest paid coach in the SEC probably after Saban, Kirby, and Kiffin?
What is
maybe Brian Kelly makes
Brian
a lot Kelly. Of money.
And Jimbo.
And Jimbo.
Yeah, so he's
okay,
six.
So yeah.
He's probably six.
Yeah. So if it makes him middle of the road in the SEC, that actually makes sense.
Right, it does. Because I'm thinking about it.
It just seems like a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because there's no one more overpaid in sports right now than Jimbo Fisher.
None.
Yeah,
none.
That's a.
There's not a single
you'd
person.
You have to rack your brain to think of somebody.
I mean, I'm sure there's somebody.
Right.
But not really.
Not many. Not many.
That we hear from, and it's the face of, and all those type of things. So
yeah.
Do you think Tennessee is here to stay in the sense of being that we're the second team in the SEC East. Maybe we knock off Georgia sometime in the next 3 to 5 years in terms of beating them once or twice.
Yeah, I can see that.
But they've surpassed I mean, really, and you look at the – I mean, in
every
the West,
time, but every time like, –
they're
last,
one of the best four programs in the SEC for the next
time,
couple of years.
Every time we go and do that with this team's going to be the second team in the East behind Georgia, they fall the fuck off.
They do.
Never fail.
Because of Georgia.
Yeah, never fails. Yeah. It never fails.
Kirby's doing to these people what Saban did to these people all these years. Like – You think you got something, and Florida even beat Georgia, right, a couple years ago.
They did.
And then
they smacked us, too.
And then Georgia beat them a couple times in a row and took some of the recruits on the trail and kind of embarrassed them publicly, and then Mullen got fired, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's what ends up happening to all these guys. I mean, again, Saban was doing it for a decade. Everybody was trying to hire somebody that could compete with them, and they couldn't.
Yeah.
And they got fired for it.
Everybody just kind of chasing their tail.
And then they decided they
sure.
were going to hire all of his assistants.
That's true.
Because
right?
his assistants would know his tricks. Kirby, I guess, has been the one that did. But, like, you know, that didn't work either.
Well, he has his own tricks is what Kirby did instead of just taking Nick's tricks.
Yeah, right. You
know. I do want to know the list. Like, I'm sure it'll come out one day in some tell-all book. It probably won't be told by Kirby, but it'll be told by somebody close to Kirby or somebody that knows, like, where all the information is. I want to know how many and which jobs he turned down before he took the Georgia job. I'm sure there's minimum five, but I'd like to know which ones.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to know which ones he had conversations about.
I wonder if there was ever one that
he ever like really considered for
right.
a moment.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of them were easy no, but some of them were probably like, damn, I don't know. Mark Richt might not ever go anywhere, you know?
Because that's, of course, what famously would happen with Will Muschamp. And who knows what would have happened because he was the coach in waiting in Texas for so long, but he got an opportunity to coach. I mean,
Florida. It's right.
Florida's
Florida
staring
calls.
At you, you know,
Florida
and then unfortunately
calls.
It didn't
you
work.
Do it.
You got to go.
And somehow he got the South Carolina job
you
out of that.
Go.
And now he's hanging out. Does he ever leave again? I mean, does he get one more? Does he have one more crack at being a head coach in the SEC?
I wouldn't be shocked if him or Shue went to Alabama.
He's so young.
After Saban?
No, right now. To go coordinate defense.
Oh.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Is Will Muschamp even 50?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, he's probably right around.
Like 48,
he's an old 50, 48. Though.
But he's not old.
He does the little glasses down there that makes him 15 years
been,
older.
Yeah,
he's like drinking down stuff.
That's that's a coordinator thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's a good coordinator.
I love some damn Will Muschamp, though. Love that guy. He's a good damn man.
Yeah.
Good man.
Well, but he did the whole, like, I mean, not that, whatever, people overrate those things, but he did the whole, like, build the house in Athens and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you can just sell your house or keep it by the amount of money that you make.
Yeah.
He is 51 years old.
People know that real estate's a good investment, right?
Yeah, because they got houses everywhere.
It always makes me laugh when people say that. He bought a house. Because he's smart.
Yeah.
Also, if you're a multimillionaire, you can have another house.
Yeah, because he's a smart person. And he'll sell it and make more than he paid for it.
Yeah, exactly. Because
the seller's market, from what I read, it's like, oh, is it? Okay.
Right now?
Still, right? Yeah. It's been for that way for a while,
yeah,
hasn't it?
Seller's market
when I sold my condo.
So it shouldn't be hard to sell a house. It should be hard to sell. I don't think it should be hard to sell a house.
Yeah.
I think that's still a trend.
Okay.
So, is there
your real estate?
Is
minute.
There the Muschamp
off the cuff
Saban connection, or is Kirby that connection?
Kirby's connection. Well, no, because you remember Will was that when Nick came to Miami.
Will was part of that staff.
Will's part of that staff. Okay,
okay?
And so
I do not remember
Rick,
that.
You remember who's Richard Smith, who was here with the Falcons with Dan Quinn.
Okay, I remember the name.
Okay, so he was a respected defensive coordinator in the NFL. So Nick hired him as a defensive coordinator by title. Will was the defensive coordinator. Will called the defense. All Richard Smith did was
in Miami.
Yeah, all Richard Smith. All Richard Smith did was he ran the scout team defense.
Yeah,
got paid like a defensive coordinator. And Will Muschamp ran the defense. He called the whole defense.
Oh wow.
Yes.
Okay. No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that. And then Kirby was the
DB coach. Yes.
Okay.
Kirby was the DB coach.
Yeah. Interesting. It's so crazy how the overlap between all these, but. I could see him talking himself into one more go at like one of these SEC West jobs or something.
Yeah,
or,
I could too.
Who
did
knows?
Did he go to Auburn?
Will
no, that's Bobo. Yeah, that's Bobo.
As a student?
No, he went to Georgia.
Yeah, he went to Georgia.
But I'm saying, did he go to Auburn to coach? I don't know. So
his first coaching stop was at Auburn. And then he was also the Auburn DC for 1 year. So 95, 96, he was a grad assistant at
Auburn.
Oh, he's
51. Okay.
Yeah. And then West Georgia, Eastern Kentucky, Valdosta State, which famously everybody was there.
Everybody.
LSU, Miami.
Fucking stacked.
Actually,
Valdosta
he's had three
State.
Different stints at Auburn, so it's interesting you bring that up.
All right.
Yeah, 95, 96 as a grad assistant.
All right.
And then 06, 07 as the DC linebacker coach after the Dolphins thing fell through.
All right.
And then he was at Texas. And then then he had the Florida gig, then Auburn DC again for 1 year.
Okay.
Then the South Carolina job. So
he's going to replace
Auburn might be the call. Auburn might be the call when they you know sit through another. Group of who do they hire? I forget.
Hugh Freeze.
That's crazy. Though.
Yeah, when they fire Auburn, Hugh Georgia Freeze tie. In 3 years, and you know, Saban's considering retiring, right. That job might look pretty appealing.
He'll be like 54, 55 at the time.
He's got one more go at it.
Because I don't know who would. Who would replace Nick Saban in Alabama?
I do not want to be that person.
I don't want to be that guy.
I mean, of course, it's still the head coach at Alabama, so I'm sure someone
will. Oh, no, somebody's going to take it. It's just like, who would you go?
Hopefully there's just some young up-and-comer that is the guy at that point.
You get somebody from the pros?
I don't know. I mean, I guess,
or does he have the groomed, like, when he knows it's a year or two left, does he have that groomed guy on the staff that's just going to take
I don't see Nick grooming no fucking body take his job.
Yeah, I don't either.
You think he cares? I don't.
Or maybe he grooms him in a way where he's not grooming him. But
yeah, I don't see Nick grooming nobody.
Because he groomed Kirby, whether he thought about it or not.
Sure.
I'm sure he didn't go out of his way.
He didn't groom Kirby to take his job.
No, I know, but he sat there for 9 years and learned probably quite a bit from him.
But he always knew Kirby was going to get that fucking job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we all knew that's what he was holding out for. We just didn't know when Coach Rick was leaving.
Yeah.
When they were going to fire. Because that was the biggest thing. It's like, Coach Rick, I always thought he would step down. I didn't think they would fire him. But then as shit went on during the season, like, damn, coach.
What do you think ultimately was the, I know this is a tough one for you, but what do you think ultimately led to Rick getting let go?
Because the program was stagnant.
Yeah.
It was stagnant.
The fact that Missouri went to the SEC championship twice, I think, was enough for the boosters to call it a day.
Dude.
Those were those two years. And you had down Florida, and you couldn't take advantage of the down Florida years, and that was the end of it. Because I think they would have been fine if Florida kept rolling and didn't ever have that little lull when Meyer left and all that stuff.
Yep.
Mark Rick still might be the coach, you know?
Well, yeah, so, that was the thing. You're like sitting back like, ain't this a big old freaking Missouri.
Watching Missouri play in the SEC championship game was just mortifying. It was awful. There was pain in my side.
Athens. Oh, I lost. Oh, that fucking game in Athens.
When Michael Sam, Gary Pinkle.
Michael Sands picked up the fumble.
Gary Pinkle.
Right? Because something happened.
Was he
kind of
older?
There was like a scandal and he had to step down.
Oh.
There was something that happened in Missouri, but I mean, you know, you go to a couple SEC championship games at Missouri, you would think that.
Because that was their first two years in SEC? They did that shit? Yeah,
I don't know, but that's pretty impressive stuff.
Gary Pinkle is 70 at this point.
He's old now.
That was his last job.
Something happened.
He called it a day.
He had to step down there was something going on with the program where he had to step down. It wasn't like, it's so funny what qualified as a scandal 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And now it's like.
For damn free flow.
Nothing. Nothing compared
it's
to what's
happening.
It's crazy
how some schools, like, you know, that Valdosta State coaching staff, but then, like, I just look at, like, Gary Pinkle's coaching. Like, he also coached at Kent State, which a lot of people know Saban. That's where, you know, he coached for a little bit. And then Bowling Green, which is where Urban Meyer coached for a little bit. So it's weird, like, certain stepping stone programs that are, like.
Did Gary Pinkle coach at Washington or no?
Yeah. He was the wide receiver coach from 79 to 83.
Damn.
And then the OC from 84. To 90
when they should have won a national championship
and
in
then,
84.
Then he was the Toledo head coach 84? For 10 years
Rose
and then
Bowl.
The Missouri head coach.
Yeah.
Damn, he was the Missouri
Nate
head
Robinson's
coach for
dad.
14, 15 years. I didn't
really?
Realize. Yeah, he was there from 01 to 15.
And he went with them when they moved conferences
yeah.
and
yeah.
then had that success. Because
when did that happen?
SEC?
What was that, like 12? About 10
yeah,
years
10,
ago?
12, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, right around then.
Gotcha.
So they all coached under him and Saban were at Kent State together. Coaching under Don James, mm-hmm. who became the Washington head coach, and Saban wrote the foreword in Don James' biography and sort of credits him with a lot of the coaching philosophy.
Don
and stuff
then
like
that's
that.
When Nick went to he went to Cleveland after Cleveland. That, or did he go to Mississippi? No, he went to Cleveland, then Michigan State.
I'm not sure.
Oh yeah, because I just remember when we played in the Hall of Fame game, and he took us over. He took us all to Kent State. And,
oh okay.
Yeah, he took us all over there.
It's just kind of cool if you go back. Just a little bit, how all the, you know, the great coaches from the 70s and 80s. Oh, look at that. They had some of these guys on their staffs, and then they became the great coach of the 90s and the 2000s. And, you know, like Kirby's kind of that now from Saban.
That was a squad. My brother played on that Valdosta team.
So 73-74 grad assistant for Kent State. Then he was their linebacker coach for a couple years. Then he went to Syracuse to coach. Then he went a couple years at West Virginia, a couple years at Ohio State being the DB coach, Navy DB coach, Michigan State DC DB coach, Houston Oiler DB coach.
Yes.
Did not realize that or remember that. Then he was Toledo for a year, head coach, Browns DC.
He's the head coach of Toledo?
Yeah, that's what it looks like for okay. in 1990.
Did not know that.
Well,
know
at least
that.
When they don't put it in parentheses, it typically means that means
yeah,
the head coach part.
That's right.
Then Browns DC for a handful of years. So something weird must have happened at Toledo because he was only there a year.
And obviously people know this, but if yeah. you don't, him and Belichick together in Cleveland.
In Cleveland, you know? Yeah. And then Michigan State, 95 to 99. LSU, 2000 to 2004.
That's funny.
05, 06 with Randy and company. And then Bama from 07.
That's one of the funniest things that watching that, I think it was 30 for 30, those Cleveland days, and that staff and that front office, like the Gophers, like Thomas Dimitroff was yeah. cutting grass.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And all kind of shit.
The amount of like
oh, really?
Future
oh,
NFL
yeah.
talent.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I can't remember the name of it. But
right,
yeah.
like
yeah.
Thomas Dimitroff, who was a general manager of a team that went to the Super Bowl,
yeah, he
was like their water boy.
Yeah, he's their water boy, getting them sandwiches and
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, right?
That's yeah, they had damn
still hasn't gotten a call to be GM, huh?
No,
Dimitroff, he's right? done.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's good.
Yeah,
it seems like he's good.
I think Dimitroff will be somewhere, more right? like a Scott Pioli soon.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, some sort of consultant.
Yes,
I saw him. He still lives here over near Chastain Park. I just see him around sometimes.
On the bike?
He was walking.
Okay.
Hair looked good. But I think he... I think he... Because we interviewed him a handful of times.
Yeah.
So I think he... when I see him, he sort of recognizes me and gives me a little heads up.
Do you guys get a little like hair game, like head nod?
Yeah, we're like kind of in the brotherhood
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
Brotherhood.
But we also worked at this radio station and weren't the show that, you know, sort of called them
sure,
names
sure.
on the air. So
yeah,
I think there's a little
don't
bit
call
of
people names. Let's go do a show.
Can never result in anything good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.